All right, get ready to dive deep into zero trust architecture with us today.
Sounds good.
It looks like you're really looking to understand ZTA inside and out, especially with all the Cloud Security Alliance and NIST research you sent our way.
Yeah.
We can definitely skip over the IT Security 101 and get right into the good stuff.
We're great.
Let's unpack what ZTA is all about, how it works, and what it can do for you.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing to see how much the tech world has changed.
Right.
With cloud computing, remote work, and a constantly expanding attack surface, that old castle and moat security model just isn't cutting it anymore.
Yeah, it feels like that perimeter is dissolving more and more every day.
It is.
So how does ZTA tackle this new reality?
ZTA changes the game completely.
Yeah.
Instead of trust but verify, it's all about never trust, always verify. And that goes for everything and everyone who wants to access resources.
Got it.
Users, devices, applications, you name it.
Everything.
It basically assumes that breaches are bound to happen or might have already happened.
Right.
And it's constantly verifying every single access attempt.
Okay, so no more blind trust.
Yep.
What are those core principles that make a ZTA system truly solid?
So the Department of Defense has outlined some key pillars that are really useful to think about.
Okay.
Think of it like a checklist for a strong ZTA framework.
Perfect.
First up, you have users and identities.
Okay.
This is all about making sure you know who's trying to get into your resources.
Right.
Strong authentication and authorization are non-negotiable here.
Got it.
We're talking multi-factor authentication.
Right.
You know, going beyond just passwords.
Yep.
And maybe even continuous authentication to make sure those users are who they say they are throughout their entire session.
Throughout.
Then there's role-based access control, which lets you fine-tune permissions based on job roles.
Right.
But you can take it even further with attribute-based access control.
Right.
It gives you granular control by considering things like location, device, and even time of day.
So it's all about context, really understanding the situation before granting access.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's users and identities locked down.
Next up, we've got devices and endpoints.
All right, so it's not just about who you are, but also what you're using to connect.
You got it.
So what are the key considerations there?
ZTA requires continuous monitoring and health checks for all devices trying to connect to the network.
Makes sense.
We need to make sure every single device is meeting those security standards.
Right, like making sure everyone has their seatbelt on before we take off.
Exactly.
So what kind of checks are we talking about?
Well, things like checking for up-to-date antivirus software, making sure operating system patches are installed,
right,
and even verifying specific security configurations.
Okay, so it's really about making sure those devices are secure and healthy.
It is.
Before we even let them connect to the network.
Exactly.
This is where real-time attestation comes in, right?
It does.
We're constantly verifying that devices are trustworthy before giving them access.
Yep.
Yep. You're always double-checking, always making sure.
Got it.
And then there's the network and environment.
Okay, so we've got strong identities, healthy devices.
Right.
What's next?
ZTA is all about micro-segmentation.
What's that?
Breaking down your network into smaller, isolated zones.
Okay, so if one part gets compromised, the damage is contained.
Exactly. You prevent those attackers from moving laterally.
Yeah.
Across your whole network.
So it's like those airtight compartments in a ship.
It is.
If one gets breached, the others are still safe.
Precisely.
So we're verifying users, scrutinizing devices, and compartmentalizing the network.
Right.
That's a lot.
It is.
But what about the applications and the data themselves?
Oh yeah, we can't forget those.
Let's talk about them.
Absolutely.
How does ZTA handle those aspects?
So with applications and workloads, ZTA is all about security from the inside out.
Okay, so it's not just about protecting them from external threats.
Right. It's about making sure they're secure by design.
Got it.
This means implementing secure coding practices.
Regularly scanning for vulnerabilities and adopting a DevSecOps approach where security is baked into the entire development lifecycle.
Okay, so security is part of the DNA of the application.
Exactly.
It's not an afterthought.
Nope, it's built right in.
Got it. So that's applications.
And there's data.
Right. Protecting that sensitive data is key.
Absolutely.
How does ZTA approach data security?
So ZTA emphasizes classifying and encrypting data based on how sensitive it is.
Okay, so not all data is created equal.
Right. Some data needs more protection than others.
Makes sense.
We use things like data loss prevention solutions to monitor and control data movement.
Right. So we can prevent unauthorized access or exfiltration.
Exactly.
And digital rights management, or DRM, adds another layer of protection.
It does.
We can control who can access, modify, or share specific data, even after it's been downloaded or shared.
Yep, even then.
Okay, so we've got strong identities, healthy devices, a compartmentalized network, secure applications, and locked down data.
It's starting to sound like a fortress.
It does, right?
It really does.
But I imagine every good fortress needs vigilant guards, right?
Oh, absolutely.
What are the ZTA equivalents of those guards?
Well, visibility and analytics are crucial.
So we're talking about constant monitoring
yep.
and analysis of network activity.
Exactly. It's like having security cameras everywhere.
Right.
But with the intelligence to spot suspicious behavior.
Okay, so not just recording what's happening, but actually understanding it.
Right.
And alerting security teams before a breach becomes a major incident.
Precisely. It's all about being proactive.
Got it.
And then we have automation and orchestration.
Okay, so in today's fast-paced threat landscape, manual response just isn't enough.
It's not. It's too slow.
So ZTA uses automation to streamline things.
It does.
Speed up response times and reduce the workload on security teams.
Exactly. We're talking about things like automatically isolating compromised devices.
Right.
Blocking malicious traffic.
Uh-huh.
And even patching vulnerabilities without any human intervention.
So it's like having a security system that not only detects threats, but also takes action to neutralize them.
Precisely. It's a very active system.
That's really impressive.
It is pretty powerful.
But I have to imagine that this kind of comprehensive approach, it requires a significant shift in thinking for an organization, right?
Well, you're absolutely right.
So it's not just about deploying new technologies.
No.
It's about changing the way people think about security.
It is.
And that's where governance comes in.
It does.
So governance is more than just policies and procedures.
It is.
It's about embedding ZTA into the very fabric of the organization.
You got it.
Okay, so we're talking about a cultural transformation.
Yes.
Moving from a reactive security posture to a proactive and dynamic one.
Exactly. You're always on your toes, always verifying, always assessing the risk.
So it's about transforming the organization's DNA to embrace that never trust, always verify philosophy.
That's a great way to put it.
But how do organizations actually put this into practice? What are the different approaches to implementing ZTA?
There are a few paths you can take, and they all have their own strengths and considerations.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Let's start with software-defined perimeter, or SDP for short.
FDP, all right, tell me more about that one.
Okay, so imagine, yeah. So with SDP, it's like creating this virtual air gap around all your applications and resources.
Right.
You're basically making them invisible to anyone who's not authorized to see them.
Invisible, like they don't even exist.
Exactly, it's like having a secret room in your house that only appears when you know the secret knock.
I love that analogy.
Right.
So it's all about hiding those valuable assets until someone proves they belong.
You got it.
How does that actually work in practice?
So let's say you have a server with some really sensitive data on it.
Okay.
With SDP, you put a gateway in front of it, and that gateway makes the server completely invisible to anyone on the network.
So no one can even see it unless they're authorized.
Nope. It's like having an unlisted phone number. Only people who know the exact number can call.
That makes sense.
So how do authorized users get in?
Right, because they need to access the server.
They do.
So how do they get through?
When an authorized user wants to connect to that server, their device first has to connect to the SDP controller.
Okay, and what's the controller?
Think of it like a really strict bouncer at a super exclusive club.
Okay, got it.
It verifies the user's identity, checks their credentials.
Make sure they're on the list.
Exactly, and it also makes sure their device meets all the security requirements.
So it's like checking your ID, making sure you're on the guest list, and maybe even giving you a pat down for good measure.
That's a great way to put it.
So it's a multi-layered security check.
It is.
Making sure only the right people with the right devices can even see the door, let alone get inside.
Exactly.
Okay, so what happens once the controller gives the green light?
Once the controller is satisfied, it creates the secure, encrypted tunnel between the user's device and the server.
Okay.
And this tunnel bypasses the traditional network.
So it's like a secret passageway.
It is.
That only opens for those who have passed the test.
You got it. And for the techies out there, you might want to look into something called single packet authorization. Or SPA.
Okay.
It's part of how SDP makes sure only the right data gets through.
Got it. So SDP is all about making resources invisible until you've proven yourself.
It is.
It's secure, it's stealthy, and it sounds pretty user-friendly.
It is.
But I know there are other approaches to ZTA.
Right.
What else is in the ZTA toolbox?
Another popular approach is Zero Trust Network Access. Or ZTNA.
ZTNA, okay.
Yeah, it's often seen as a modern, more secure replacement for those traditional VPNs that we all know and love, Or maybe not love so much.
VPNs, right? Yeah. We all use them. But they can be a bit like giving someone the keys to your entire house when all they need to do is borrow a cup of sugar.
That's a great analogy.
Right. You're giving them way more access than they need.
Exactly.
So how does ZTNA handle things differently?
Well, with traditional VPNs, you basically get an all-access pass to the network once you're connected.
Right.
ZTNA takes a more granular approach.
Okay.
It only grants access to the specific applications that you need.
So it's like giving someone a key to only the pantry.
It is.
Not the entire house.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
So it's all about giving users just enough access to do their jobs and nothing more.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Right.
So how is ZTNA implemented?
There are two main flavors of ZTNA.
Hmm.
Endpoint initiated and service initiated.
Okay.
Endpoint initiated ZTNA is kind of similar to SDP.
Okay.
It uses a lightweight agent that's installed on the user's device.
Right.
And this agent communicates with a controller to authenticate the user and establish a secure connection to the application.
So it's that same secure tunnel idea.
It is.
But applied to specific applications.
Yeah.
It's like having a secure escort that takes you directly to your destination.
Right.
Bypassing all the unnecessary areas.
Exactly.
And what about service-initiated ZTNA?
Service-initiated ZTNA takes a different approach.
Okay.
Instead of an agent on the device, it uses a broker that sits in front of the application.
Okay.
So when a user tries to access the application, they first have to authenticate with the broker,
right,
proving they have the right to be there.
Got it.
Then the broker creates a secure connection between the user and the application.
So it's like the application has a personal bodyguard.
It is.
Only letting in those with the right credential.
Exactly.
So in both cases, you're creating a secure micro perimeter around each application.
You got it.
Regardless of where the user or the application is located.
Right.
This really reinforces that never trust, always verify principle we were talking about earlier.
It does.
And this brings us to Google Beyond Corp.
Yes.
Of course, Google always pushing the boundaries.
Right.
How does Beyond Corp fit into this ZTA landscape?
Beyond Corp is pretty unique because it relies heavily on a web proxy.
A web proxy.
Yeah. So every request to access any resource, an application, a file, even a website, it all gets routed through this proxy.
Yeah, the proxy becomes like a central security checkpoint that everyone has to go through.
Exactly. It checks the user's identity, the device's security status, and even factors like location and time of day.
Wow. That's a lot of information to process.
It is.
For every single request.
Yeah, it's a thorough screening process.
It sounds incredibly robust.
It is. But that level of granularity is what ZTA is all about.
Right. It's about leaving no stone unturned when it comes to security.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got these different implementations. SDP, which makes resources invisible. ZTNA, the VPN upgrade. And Beyond Corp, Google's proxy-centric approach.
Right.
But how are these actually being used in the real world?
Well, as we touched on earlier, securing remote access is a major use case.
Okay.
Especially with more and more organizations embracing hybrid and fully remote work models.
Right. Remote work is here to stay.
It is.
So how does ZTA help with that?
ZTNA is a real game changer here. It's not just about replacing VPNs. It's about providing more secure and granular access to everything, no matter where the user is located.
So it's like having a security detail that follows your employees wherever they go.
Right.
Making sure they only access what they need when they need it.
Exactly. No more all access passes.
Got it.
And with the rise of cloud computing,
right,
ZTA is being used extensively to secure cloud environments.
Of course, because so much data is moving to the cloud.
It is.
So how does ZTA protect that data?
Think about all those SaaS applications that organizations depend on, like Salesforce, Office 365, and all the others.
Right. There are so many of them.
There are.
And they all hold sensitive data.
They do.
So how does ZTA help?
ZTA helps ensure that only authorized users have access to the specific data and features they need, even though that data is sitting in the cloud.
So even though that traditional perimeter is dissolving, ZTA steps in to create this new, more dynamic perimeter.
It does.
Around every user and every application.
You got it.
That's pretty ingenious. It is pretty clever.
And as organizations embrace multi-cloud strategies, you know, using services from multiple cloud providers like AWS, Azure, and GCP, how does ZTA fit into that picture?
ZTA provides a way to manage security consistently across all those different environments.
So it's like having one security system that can manage all the locks on your house.
It is.
No matter how many doors you have.
Exactly.
Right, like a single pane of glass for all your cloud security.
Yep.
Ensuring that consistent level of protection no matter where your data lives.
That's the go.
So ZTA is becoming the go-to solution for navigating this new world of cloud computing.
It really is.
But I'm curious, how is ZTA being applied to more traditional on-premises environments?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because not everything is moving to the cloud.
Right, and while ZTA is often associated with cloud and remote access, it's also playing a crucial role in securing critical infrastructure.
Critical infrastructure, like what? We're talking about the systems that control things like power grids, water treatment plants, transportation systems.
Oh, those are high stakes.
They are.
These are systems that society literally depends on.
They are.
Security must be absolutely paramount in those environments.
Absolutely.
So how does ZTA help secure those systems?
These systems were traditionally isolated.
Right.
But as they become more interconnected and reliant on digital technologies,
they become more vulnerable.
They do.
To cyber attacks.
Right.
So how does ZTA help?
ZTA provides a way to enforce security without compromising availability.
Okay, so it's about finding that balance.
It is.
Between security and keeping those essential services running.
Exactly.
So ZTA acts as a sort of digital bodyguard for these critical systems.
It does.
Ensuring they remain operational while keeping those malicious actors at bay.
That's the goal.
That's pretty impressive.
It is.
And it's not just those traditional systems, right?
Right.
ZTA is even being applied to emerging technologies like 5G networks. 5G is all about high-speed connectivity.
Right.
Enabling a whole ecosystem of Internet of Things devices.
It is.
Think about all the devices that are becoming connected these days. Your refrigerator, your car, your city's traffic lights.
It's amazing and a little scary.
It is, right?
Yeah.
It seems like everything is getting connected these days.
It does.
Creating both amazing opportunities and some pretty daunting security challenges.
Absolutely.
So how does ZTA address those challenges, especially with 5G and IoT?
Securing all these connected devices is crucial. And ZT can help ensure that only authorized devices can access the network, and that data is protected at every point.
So it's about building security into the fabric of this increasingly interconnected world.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Remote access, cloud security, critical infrastructure, 5G networks.
It's a lot.
It is, but it seems like ZTA is really changing the game when it comes to cybersecurity.
It is.
But it's important to acknowledge that ZTA isn't a magic bullet, right?
Right.
There must be challenges to implementing this kind of comprehensive security model.
There are. ZTA isn't a quick fix. It's a journey.
Okay.
And there are definitely challenges along the way.
All right. So what are some of those challenges?
One of the biggest ones is complexity.
Complexity.
Yeah. ZTA requires a deep understanding of your entire IT environment.
Okay.
All your users, devices, applications, and data.
So it's like creating a detailed map.
It is.
Of your entire digital world.
Exactly. And then you need to develop and implement policies for how each of these elements will interact within a ZT framework.
So it's not just about deploying new technologies.
Right.
It's about creating a whole new set of rules and procedures.
It is.
To govern how everything operates in a zero-trust environment.
Mm.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It can be, but the good news is that there are tools and frameworks available to help organizations along the way.
Okay, so there's help out there.
There is.
But it's still a significant undertaking.
It is.
What are some other challenges organizations might face?
Another common challenge is legacy systems.
Legacy systems, actually.
Yeah, a lot of organizations still rely on older technologies that weren't designed with ZT in mind.
Right, because ZT is a relatively new concept.
It is.
So how do you deal with those legacy systems that just don't play nicely with ZT principles?
There are ways to integrate them into a ZT framework, but it often requires some creativity.
Okay.
Techniques like network segmentation and secure application gateways can help isolate those older systems
right.
and minimize the risks they pose.
So even if you can't get rid of those old systems immediately,
right.
you can still find ways to make them more secure within a ZT architecture.
Exactly.
Got it.
And as organizations adopt ZT, they also need to address the cultural shift that comes with it.
Right. It's not just about the technology.
Do not.
It's about the people, too.
It is.
So what are some of the cultural challenges?
ZT requires a move away from that traditional trust but verify approach
right.
to a never trust, always verify mindset.
So it's a pretty big shift in how people think about security.
Right. Everyone in the organization needs to understand the principles of ZT.
Got it.
And embrace the new security practices.
So it's a team effort.
It is.
Everyone needs to be on board.
They do.
From the IT staff to the end users.
Everyone.
For ZT to be truly successful.
Right.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've explored the what, the why, and the how of ZTA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that this is a major force in the cybersecurity world.
It is.
But what does all this mean for our listener?
Right.
Why should they care about ZTA?
Here's why it matters. In today's interconnected world, where data is everywhere and cyber threats are constantly evolving, ZTA offers a way to protect what's important.
Okay.
It's about creating a more secure digital environment.
So it's not just for big corporations.
Right. It's for everyone.
Yeah.
Large enterprises, small businesses, even individuals.
Right. It's about taking control of your own security destiny.
Exactly. ZT empowers you to make informed decisions about how you access and protect your data.
So it's about being proactive.
It is.
And prepared.
Yes.
Rather than reactive and vulnerable.
Exactly.
So it's about moving from hoping for the best to actively managing and minimizing risk.
That's a great way to put it.
No more crossing your fingers and hoping you won't be the next target.
Right. ZT gives you the tools and the mindset to be security conscious in everything you do online.
Okay, so it's a journey, but it's a journey worth taking.
It is.
It's about creating a more secure digital world for everyone.
That's the goal.
So as our listener explores ZTA further, what are some key takeaways they should remember?
First and foremost, remember that the traditional castle and moat security model is outdated.
Okay.
We need to embrace the never trust, always verify approach to stay ahead of those evolving threats.
Right. No more assuming that just because something is inside our network, it's safe.
Exactly. Trust needs to be earned, not given.
Okay. That's a good one.
Second, ZTA isn't just about technology.
Right.
It's about a mindset and a culture of security.
Got it.
It's about weaving security into every aspect of an organization.
Okay, from how applications are developed to how users access data.
So it's about changing the way we think about security.
It is.
Making it an integral part of everything we do online.
Absolutely.
Any other key takeaways?
As you delve deeper into ZTA, remember that it's a journey, not a destination.
Okay.
There's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Right. It's about finding what works for you.
Exactly. The key is to understand your own needs and security goals and adopt a ZT approach that fits.
Got it.
Don't be afraid to start small.
Okay.
Focus on the areas that are most critical to your organization.
Makes sense.
And as you implement ZT, remember, it's a team effort.
Right. We talked about that.
You need buy-in from everyone in the organization to be truly successful.
It's a cultural shift.
It is.
This has been an incredibly insightful deep dive into ZTA.
It has been.
We've explored the core principles,
right.
Various implementation approaches,
mm-hmm.
real world use cases,
yeah.
Even the potential impact of ZTA on society as a whole.
It's a big topic. It is. But any final thoughts for our listener as they embark on their own ZT journey?
What I find most intriguing is how ZTA is forcing us to rethink the very notion of trust in a digital world.
Trust, right, because that's at the heart of it.
It is.
So how is ZTA changing how we think about trust?
Traditionally, security has been about building walls and perimeters.
Right, keeping the bad guys out.
Exactly, assuming that everything inside is safe and everything outside is dangerous.
That's the old model.
It is, but ZT challenges that assumption.
Okay.
It says that trust needs to be earned, not assumed, even within those walls.
So it's a profound shift in thinking.
It is.
It's not just about securing networks and devices.
No.
It's about redefining trust in a digital age.
Exactly. It's about creating a more secure and transparent digital world.
Okay.
Where trust is based on verifiable evidence, not blind faith.
I like that.
Right.
Trust, but verify.
Exactly.
Well said.
Thank you.
It's like we're shifting from a world built on handshakes to one built on digital signatures.
Yeah.
But this whole idea of continuous verification, zero trust, doesn't it feel a bit, exhausting?
I understand what you mean.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is, but the good news is that implementing ZT doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing.
Okay.
You can start small.
Right.
Focus on the areas that pose the greatest risk to your organization.
Makes sense.
And then gradually build out your ZT framework over time.
So for those of you out there who aren't cybersecurity experts, what are some simple steps you can take to embrace these principles of ZT in your own lives?
Right.
Where do you even begin?
There are actually a lot of easy things you can do to improve your own digital security.
Right. Okay.
Start with the basics. Strong passwords and multi-factor authentication.
Right. Those are the foundation.
They are. Enable MFA wherever you can.
Got it.
It adds an extra layer of protection to your accounts.
Right. It makes it much harder for hackers to get in.
Exactly. It's like having a security guard at the door checking your ID before letting you in.
MFA is a must-have these days. It really is.
What else?
Be wary of phishing attacks.
Phishing, right? Those sneaky emails and messages.
They are sneaky. Think before you click on links or open attachments, especially from senders you don't recognize.
Right. Don't fall for those too-good-to-be-true offers.
Exactly.
Or urgent requests for personal information.
Right, like those you've-won-the-lottery emails.
Or messages from a Nigerian prince.
Those are classic red flags.
It sounds too good to be true.
It probably is.
What else can people do?
Another important step is to keep your software up to date.
Updates, right? Those can be annoying.
They can, but those updates often include security patches that protect you from known vulnerabilities.
So don't ignore those pesky update reminders.
Don't. They're there for a reason.
They are. Those updates are essential for keeping your devices and data safe.
Absolutely.
All right, what else?
And finally, be mindful of the data you share online.
Okay, so think before you post.
Exactly. Think twice before posting sensitive information on social media.
Or connecting to public Wi-Fi networks.
Good point. Public Wi-Fi can be risky.
It can be.
So it's like being aware of your surroundings in the physical world.
It is. You wouldn't shout out your credit card number in a crowded street.
Right. So be equally cautious online.
Exactly.
That's a great point. Just because we're interacting through screens doesn't mean we should throw caution to the wind.
Right. Our digital lives deserve the same level of care and protection as our physical lives.
Absolutely.
And all these simple steps taken together can make a big difference in protecting yourself from cyber threats.
So, strong passwords, MFA, watch out for phishing, keep your software updated, be careful what you share online.
Right.
These are all things that everyone can do.
They are.
Regardless of their technical expertise.
Exactly. ZT isn't just for big corporations.
Right. It's a mindset that everyone can benefit from.
It really is.
It's about taking ownership of your own security.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into ZTA, I want to leave our listener with one final provocative thought. But we've talked a lot about how ZTA is changing how we think about security.
We have.
But I think it goes even deeper than that.
Okay.
I think ZTA has the potential to fundamentally change the way we interact with technology.
That's interesting.
Tell me more.
So think about it. Okay. ZTA is based on the idea that nothing should be trusted implicitly.
Right.
Every interaction needs to be verified.
Okay.
Every access request scrutinized.
Got it.
Now apply that same principle to the digital world as a whole.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting we apply this never trust, always verify mindset to everything we do online?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine a world where every piece of information, every online service, every digital interaction is subject to these same standards.
Okay.
Of verification and authentication.
So no more blindly trusting websites, apps, even the news we read online.
Right. We would have tools and mechanisms to verify the source of information.
Okay.
To authenticate the identity of those we interact with online and to ensure the integrity of the data we access.
That would be a radical transformation.
It would.
It's almost like building a digital immune system.
It is.
Where every interaction is carefully screened for potential threats.
Exactly.
But is that even possible?
I believe it is.
Could we really create a digital world where trust is earned, not assumed?
I think ZT is laying the groundwork for this future.
Okay.
As we become more comfortable with this idea of continuous verification and zero trust in our security practices, it's only natural that we'll start to demand that same level of trust and transparency in other areas of our digital lives.
So you're suggesting that ZTA is more than just a security model?
It is.
It's a blueprint for a more trustworthy digital future.
Exactly. It's about moving beyond that naive trust that has characterized so much of our online interactions to a more mature, discerning approach.
Where trust is earned.
Exactly, through verifiable evidence and continuous validation.
That's a powerful vision.
It is.
So ZT isn't just about protecting our data. It's about shaping the future of how we interact with technology as a whole.
It really is.
It's about creating a digital world where trust is valued, transparency is expected, and security is paramount.
That's it, precisely.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into the world of zero trust architecture.
It has.
We've explored the principles, the implementations, the use cases, and even the potential societal impact of this game-changing security model. And I think it's safe to say that ZT is more than just a trend.
It is.
It's a fundamental shift in how we approach security in a digital age.
Absolutely.
But as we've discussed, it's not about flipping a switch and instantly becoming a zero trust organization.
Right.
It's a journey that requires careful planning, thoughtful implementation, and a willingness to embrace new ways of thinking about security.
You summed it up perfectly.
So for those of you out there who are ready to embrace the world of zero trust, we encourage you to do your research, explore the resources available, and start building a more secure digital future for yourself and your organization.
Great advice.
And until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay secure.
Well said.